answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I bring to you today two things that will be at the forefront of my service. These are my dog tags. They're a reminder, just like every other veteran who served, that we're part of a bigger unit. And I also bring this bracelet. It was made for me by a young airman. She was keeping watch each night, and I'd go by and see her, and we'd talk. I was a flatline chaplain at Balad. And she had said one night, she said, I've got something for you. And she ran back into her guard shack, and she came out with this. She said, you're always bringing us something and listening. She said, I want to give you something. Well, what she didn't know is now about 15 years later, if confirmed by this body, this bracelet will be sitting in the Secretary of the VA's office reminding me every day of the men and women that we serve.
That's outstanding. That is the nominee Trump picked to head up the Department of Foreign Affairs, which is second in size only to the Pentagon. At his confirmation hearing yesterday, the former Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins vowed to put his full military service front and center should he lead the Veterans Affairs, and he was using that bracelet and that vow. He would do everything he can to make sure they are the center of his day, each and every day. He's also a colonel in the U.S. Air Force Reserves. And as you heard, he held up his dog tags in his closing remarks, saying, this is a reminder, just like every other veteran who served, we're part of a bigger unit. More on him and additional points in a moment. But first, welcome aboard our number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, January 22nd, 2025. Reminding you, when we're on the air, you can watch the program. I encourage you to do so. You can go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, and reminding you every time we finish the program, the video and audio are posted as podcasts for you. At News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And again, as I always do appreciate you marking that you like the program, I'm flattered and I'm honored, certainly, but I do ask one thing. I'd much rather, or in addition to, you push share. Send the program on to mothers. Get them involved. We've got listeners all over the nation, many around the world. And, of course, reminding you, if you have a phone, you have us in the palm of your hand. Newstalk STL app is great and is being upgraded to be even better. But it's there and it's free for you right now. You can simply download it, Newstalk STL app, to your phone. You push a couple buttons and you're listening to whatever is on the program on Newstalk STL at that time. At this moment, it would be Larry Connors USA. But we've got a great group of other hosts and programs. Each of us bring our own views, but we're all patriotic and 100% conservative and for this nation above all else. So, the Veterans Affairs head, former congressman of Georgia, Doug Collins, he had also served three terms in the House, in addition to his time in the military. And he made it clear that he was known for his loyalty to Trump and for anything to do with veterans' issues. He's never led an organization that's even had a fraction of the VA's 100,000 staff, 400,000 staff, 1,300 health facilities. Critics are saying, well, he can't be qualified because of that. But he's going to be confirmed. He's still trying to keep out Pete Hegseth, saying he's not qualified, just was a Fox News anchor. Well, actually, being a Fox News anchor is more qualifications than many that have that sit in Congress right now. But aside from that, they continue to try to destroy Hegseth with rumors, gossiping. Nothing can be substantiated. And he's admitted past mistakes. But that doesn't qualify him, disqualify him, or make him even neutral. It means that he's a man. And to the levels where he does not have an understanding, that's where good bosses, good department heads, good leaders find others who can give them the support they need in an area where they do not have strength. And Pam Bondi, they're pushing her confirmation for attorney general off 7 days. She upset Raskin the other day. She upset Schiff. She upset all of them because she won't play their stupid little game. So they push her confirmation off. They're playing the games continually. But it's all going to get done. And just the other day, yesterday, in fact, they had a meeting regarding what's happening with Doge and where they're going to do cuts and so forth. Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchett left that first gathering of Republicans dealing with the Doge committee with the chair lady, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Hey, everybody, just leaving the first organizational meeting of the Doge Committee, and my dear friend Marjorie Taylor Greene is chairing it. Say hey to everybody, Marjorie.
Hi, everyone. We can't wait to get to work.
That's right. Thank y'all so much for sending me here. Let's get them. Let's take our country back. Thanks, Marjorie. See you.
Bye.
A lot of organizational stuff. It's going to be a great committee, and we're going to come out blasting, and I'm very much looking forward to it. No sacred cows in this bunch, folks. You name it, we're going to go after it. And we're going to hopefully save a ton of money for this country. We run up $1 trillion every 100 days of debt. In about 5 years, our single largest item, budgetary item, will be interest on our debt.
That'd be a great beginning. In the meantime, Trump is doing everything he can to get rid of the deep staters, those that exist in our national security agencies. Many senior members at the DOJ have been shifted around, reassigned, basically relieved of their current position because they were deeply involved in persecuting Donald Trump. And this is not revenge. This is just trying to put people in charge that will be true justice warriors, not woke warriors. By the way, Trump in his first presidential gathering, announcement, press conference, I should say, said he was going to be going to visit North Carolina to help the people there and see in person what can be done for them. But again, you have those folks on the other side trying to constantly go after him. Raskin is suggesting that Trump pardoned the J6 defendants because he wants them to be a reserve army of political foot soldiers. Wolf Blitzer was pushing that issue with a guest the other day, and as they were going through it, it became obviously clear in a hurry that Wolf Blitzer certainly had an agenda. And as he was going through this in his interview, it became more and more apparent. Wolf was pushing Michigan Congressman John James on Trump's pardons.
Right now, we're focused on moving forward and not making the same mistakes.
Want to correct that. That would be Congressman Burchett before we go to Wolf. Congressman Burchett on what we're going to be accomplishing with our nation and where we're going. As he said, we're focusing on going forward, which we just heard from. And now, once again, Wolf Blitzer interviewing the Michigan congressman, but at the same time pushing his agenda.
Right now, we're focused on moving forward and not making the same mistakes of the past, and that's what we're going to be doing right here.
Well, let me just press you, Congressman. Was President Trump right in commuting the sentences of these rioters who wound up with bats and with sticks and beat police officers, some of whom were very seriously injured, and a few actually died?
Now, wait. He throws in there, a few actually died, suggesting they were killed by protesters. No police officer, no Capitol officer, no one was killed by, quote, the protesters. There was a woman that might have been trampled to death when tear gas canisters were fired inside a congressional area. And, of course, we had Ashley Babbitt being shot as she tried to crawl into the House chambers. But Wolf just puts that out there and says they died as if they were killed. So why let these people go? Michigan Congressman John James is not going to fall for that.
Wolf, were the BLM rioters right when they went across the country and burned?
I'm asking you about what happened on January 6th. I'm not asking about Black Lives Matter. I'm asking about January 6th, Congressman.
And see, and this is a part of your problem. The part of the reason that people feel so disconnected from pundits and politicians is because you don't understand where people are coming from. People see chaos all over the country, and they're seeing where one part gets punished and the other part doesn't. The fact of the matter is there are people who are truly hurting out there. They don't see what's going on, and President Trump is doing his best to move our country forward, unlike what President Biden did. And so we're moving our country forward, and we're focused on the future. I support our police. There's no excuse for hurting police officers. I applaud our law enforcement officers, but we need to move forward in the future and make sure that never happens again.
Yes, we do. And no one supports assaulting a police officer. But we're not sure the video tells the whole story, because we know what video they chose to release and what they chose to hold back. Later in this hour, we're going to focus on the efforts to round up the illegals. The immigration agenda, the migration, gathering them up is now in full force. A new Justice Department memo outlining plans to challenge sanctuary city laws. I'll have more details on that as we move forward in this hour. Trump is already stripping DEI programs out of our federal agencies. There will be additional pressure on corporations as he can do it. Some have already taken steps to reduce, if not eliminate, DEI, but some of them are going to be playing you.
There's a lot of talk about the anti-woke movement. Now, I think it is important that organizations double down internally on their efforts. And when we talk to our valuable 500 companies, I'm going to give you an example of Walmart, for example. Walmart have publicly, as you rightly said, gone out and said, we are deprioritizing diversity and inclusion and equity. Now, I deal with a fabulous gentleman called Victor Calise, who's their chief accessibility officer. And I spoke to him when I'd seen the article, said, this worries me. And he said, Katie, don't worry. We are not changing anything. We're not cutting off our budgets. We are not deprioritizing anything that we are doing. We are just talking about it differently.
In other words, we're still going to continue doing it inside our businesses. Well, as a private business, they'll probably get by with it for a while. But I would imagine that more and more of those folks inside those businesses will begin to scream and shout, and pretty soon all hell's going to break loose on those companies if they're going to push DEI. In the meantime, the Davos panel is meeting. Davos, of course, trying to bring all these world global leaders together for a World Economic Forum and decide where the nation, the world, should be going. Well, under Joe Biden, Joe Biden just followed the lead. That's changing. And in fact, the Davos panel members have to admit there is a new sheriff in town.
Trump has done something no person in the world has ever done before. A dead man, a dead politician, has risen. Somebody who, four years ago at Davos, he's buried, a dead politically, known to me. He's now returned. This is the greatest comeback in political history. of a politician. And then, therefore, he thinks he can do anything.
We need to also factor in not only who's won, which is Trump, but who's lost, which is to say us. And I guess I would add, throw into that, that the epitome of the us who is losing here is Europe. That the European Union and, by and large, its member states have misread the direction where events were going. The causes that it is interested in, climate, human rights, some others, as well as the methods of diplomacy that it prefers, are simply being gradually kind of marginalized as something new, not necessarily something better, but something new moves into the center.
Yeah, and in the center now we will have clarity, we'll have common sense. And your diplomacy was in your face, not letting anyone make any decision other than what you chose. By the way, Stellantis, one of America's largest automakers, they make Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler brands. They are announcing plans to build more vehicles in the U.S., saying we'll start rebuilding more here than elsewhere. The political editor-in-chief is praising Trump as the greatest American figure of this era. He is a force of history, according to the political global editor-in-chief John Harris in his column yesterday, saying the second inauguration puts Trump in an entirely new light, holding power under circumstances in which reasonable people cannot deny a basic fact. He is the greatest American figure of this era. He noted that Trump's second victory proves he is not a fluke, despite opponents in the media hammering his flaws for 10 years. He said that Trump is someone with an ability to perceive opportunity most politicians do not understand, do not forge, and they lose. He did say, we will have to see how he actually runs through the rest of the term, but the very fact that he got reelected says a lot. The Davos Group admits it. Politico admits it. Trump will be speaking to the World Economic Forum tomorrow. Coming up, News Talk fellow host Speaker Tim Jones, just back from D.C. in the inauguration. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. One of the greatest pleasures in life is giving. Giving something special to someone just because. Vincent's Jewelers can help you, and you should know that Vincent's has helped raise almost $2 million for local charities. Vincent's Jewelers, St. Louis's premier, full-service, locally owned jewelry store. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day for new items. vincentsjewelers.com, my only jeweler, vincentsjewelers.com. I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance.
And something else to know, Josh McGuire, president of McGuire Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. Now, I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And of course, every weekday prior to Larry Connors USA appearing at 6, from 4 to 6, you hear Christopher Arps and Speaker Tim Jones. And a great program. In fact, I've been listening to them the last couple of days as Tim has been in D.C. with the inauguration and everything surrounding it. Speaker, glad to have you with us, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me, as always.
And I want to get some of the color and added points that you've shared with Chris and your audience earlier in the day, but I want to read a couple things to you and get your response. First of all, the political editor-in-chief says, no one can deny a basic fact, Trump is now the greatest American figure of this era.
Larry, it's hard to dispute that, right? If there was anyone who had more, who has more than 100% name ID, it would be Donald Trump. He is not just a national figure. He's not just an American historical figure. He's an international figure. And he's already had an international effect. I mean, Larry, if you talk to, well, he had it the last time around, but this time around, not even I've never seen, Larry, in my lifetime, you probably haven't seen yours either, a president that accomplished more in the lead up to his inauguration than Donald Trump. Culminating in the echoes of 1979, the release of the hostages held by Iran, in conjunction with the release of the hostages in Israel. And everyone admits, even people in the Biden administration, that but for Donald Trump, we would still be wondering where all of those poor souls were.
And one other thing, since you said on a world stage, the Davos panel is underway, and of course, they want to decide where the nation, our nation, and the world, the globe goes, and it should be only in the direction they see, and basically, the European Union should lead all of us. Well, they are now acknowledging Trump won, Davos is lost.
Absolutely. And Larry, you know, putting aside the elitist eggheads and the wannabe oligarchs at the Davos summit, at the World Economic Forum, you know, all the do-gooders who want government to do everything to us in our lives. And Larry, it's bigger than Donald Trump, right? This has been a philosophical battle for the heart and soul, not only of America, but for freedom and liberty around the world. And what won was the human spirit. The divide is between people who want more government to intrude upon our lives and telling us what to do, how to do it, what to wear, what to drive, how and where to travel, whether we get to travel, and basically enjoying life on the planet Earth as a human being. And those who want more freedom and liberty. Larry, one of the most amazing experiences I had in Washington, D.C., and I had a ton of them, blessed and humbled and honored to be able to attend the festivities this week, was at the Americans for Tax Reform Gala. Grover Norquist, the famous founder and president, very good friend of mine. And Larry, it was an international event. There were people there. There were guests there from Italy, from Germany, from South America. And they're all here in our country, Larry, because they believe that Donald Trump is not just going to be good for America, but again, he is going to be good for economic freedom, liberty, religious expression around the world.
Peace around the world.
Peace through strength. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that being a key point, I mean, that's what the left has been trying to undermine and still tries, that he's out to, as Jamie Raskin is claiming, he had all these J6ers pardoned so they could be political foot soldiers, basically suggesting there's a movement, an undercurrent, that he's going to try to take control and be a dictator. And what he did in the beginning, he did exactly as he said he was going to, start signing a flurry of executive orders, canceling many that Biden had canceled that Trump had previously put in place, and adding more. And today, Secretary of State Marco Rubio declaring nothing but the U.S. flag flies above U.S. institutions and embassies.
Larry, I don't know that we'd ever would say this about Donald Trump, because he's one of the most interesting, eclectic, amazing figures we've ever seen. And this is a return to normalcy, right? Yeah. Maybe something we never thought we'd say with Donald Trump going back into the White House. But what you just described is one of the thousands of examples of Americans waking up out of this bizarre fever dream of a nightmare that we've had under Joe Biden, where girls could be boys and boys could be girls. The medical industrial complex could lop off body parts from children. The wokeitocracy invaded our military to the point where we had significant recruiting problems. We were our image around the world has been definitely hobbled. I don't say shattered, but definitely hobbled. But it's going to be restored, and it's going to be restored in quick fashion as the new Secretary of State Marco Rubio is already taking those actions. So, Larry, the world needs America to be a leader.
Yes.
But we need to be a leader under things that actually make sense and, you know, that actually operate in reality, because reality has bitten us and now we need to reclaim it.
And it is absolutely frightening to imagine if we had had another 4 years of Biden or whoever was running the White House. But I want a couple of quick points from you on what personal experiences and reflections you had. For one thing, there were a lot of businesses that were saying, oh, we're going to close all these Trump supporters. They won't have any place to eat or dine or anything else. They'll just be out in the cold.
No, not at all, Larry. Even though Washington, D.C. is probably 90 to 95% to the left, there are plenty of people in Washington, D.C., I think, engaged in actual American capitalism and commerce that are running businesses that were more than happy to welcome us in.
Well,
we had no problem. Yeah, it was brutal. It was cold, but it was exciting and it was fun. And even though there was traffic and issues of that sort, Larry, the thing that hit me the biggest, I was there 8 years ago. And the day after the inauguration, remember we had the Pink Pussycat Women's March, right?
Yes.
Invading the city. They locked everything down. You couldn't get on a metro. You couldn't get in an Uber. You couldn't get in. Yesterday, the day after, did the same thing. Not a soul. Well, there were some tourists. There was people enjoying the sights. It was a touch warmer there. People enjoying the Capitol Rotunda. We got to go in and see where the inaugural podium was. That was really exciting. Larry, again, a return to normalcy. The resistance, they're not gone. They're not out. They're just down for now, but I bet you they'll be back. But Washington, D.C., for the most part, any city where you cram in tens and tens of thousands of people is going to have crowd control issues. But I didn't hear of anything serious, anything problematic. We froze our butts off a couple nights while we were outside waiting in lines to get into various events. But it all ended up running, I think, rather well in retrospect. And it is so nice to see a president in the White House who once again actually cares about the future of America and the prosperity of Americans.
And when you say we, you had with you your daughter, Katie, who's a sophomore at Drake University. I'd like to ask Katie a couple of questions. Katie, you with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I can put her on right now. Here she is.
Katie?
Hi.
Hi, Larry Connors here. First of all, your impression of what you witnessed over the last couple of days.
Wow, it was quite the experience. There were people everywhere. It was very crazy, very busy. It was a very cool experience. I was up in D.C. for Trump's inauguration 8 years ago, so it was really cool to be back.
Oh, so you were there 8 years, so you definitely have a comparison. And night and day?
Yeah. It was a bit different, mainly because this time it was inside with it being so cold, so that was really interesting. Something I didn't remember from 8 years ago was there was a lot of like prayer intertwined throughout the ceremony, and I thought that was really cool. They brought up an archbishop and a rabbi and priests and ministers and stuff. And I thought that was really cool. Just showing those faith values that are so essential to
America. Did you see the joy of so many that maybe previously were not sure where we were headed, but now see there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And in fact, we're out of the tunnel. We're out of the tunnel. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah, the energy in D.C. was just electric. Everyone was really celebrating. And yeah, it felt like we've kind of woken up from a nightmare in a way. Things are getting back to normal again.
Well, all of this to build for your future and your children's future.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
How optimistic are you?
It's looking good. It's looking good. I think we're returning to, as Trump has been saying, the values that really make America great. So,
well, we appreciate it. You taking time to share your thoughts. So, final few words with your dad, Katie, again, thank you. She is a sophomore.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. She's a sophomore at Drake University. Tim, you're doing a great job of raising a fine young woman. And I'm glad to see that because she has her head on her shoulders straight for herself and her future children. I guess Tim thought we were completely done, but
I'm back.
Okay. I'll give you 30 seconds here for a wrap up for you, sir.
Larry, the inaugural speech was different, like everything Trump does. Some said it was a little, some declared it combative. I declared it direct. It was direct on all of the issues that this nation is suffering under, that Donald Trump and the Republicans in the House and the Senate are now going to set about to fix. Making America safe again, making America prosperous again, making Americans wealthy again, and helping make everything great again.
Thank you, Speaker Tim Jones and daughter Katie. And to
thank you, Larry.
Thank you. And to his point, the cartel law that's now in effect. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Question: are you looking to unlock the full potential of artificial intelligence for your business? I want you to meet my friends at PRI Global, named by the St. Louis Business Journal as a leading IT consulting firm. 25 years helping local and worldwide companies. PRI Global has a free survey to determine where your company stands in your AI journey. You simply go to priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. And I also have a phone number, so get ready to copy that number. And I'll remind you that PRI Global has its own AI lab, creating, adapting, developing, pushing the boundaries for what AI can do for you. Here's the number, 636-689-0545, 636-689-0545, or visit priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. Here's great news. Napoli Kirkwood is now open, so that means fine dining right in the heart of Kirkwood. So you have the original Cafe Napoli in downtown Clayton, Napoli 2, Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, plus Napoli Brothers Pasta and Pizza in the Chesterfield Valley. All of those locations, and now adding Napoli Kirkwood. What a great place to dine. Napoli Kirkwood, now open. Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this hour of Larry Connors USA. And let's be honest, most window companies are pushing cheap vinyl windows, adding bells and whistles to make them sound great, but Renewal windows are twice as strong. You do not want to go cheap when you can go with quality and get the nation's best warranty. Check the website, rbastl.com, or dial #250, #250, and say windows.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is actually an executive order designating the cartels and other organizations to be foreign terrorist organizations.
That's a big one.
Yes, sir.
People have wanted to do this for years.
So they are now designated as terrorist organizations, foreign, and Mexico probably doesn't want that, but we have to do what's right. They're killing our people. They're killing 250,000-300,000 American people a year, not 100, like has been reported for 15 years. It's probably 300,000.
That is Donald Trump when he was signing the executive order designating cartel organizations as terrorist organizations, meaning they are direct enemies of our nation and our military can be used directly against them wherever we choose to go after these terrorists. And the late word is that the Pentagon will be sending 1,500 U.S. active duty troops to the southern border by the end of this month. Already we have 2,500 U.S. service members at the southern border. They were ordered there back in 2023 during the Biden administration under Title 10. Authorities were approved at that time by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. So they were there, but they weren't really carrying out anything. They were just basically helping assist more illegals coming into our country. That has come to a halt. And in fact, this full crackdown is on full force at this point, even involves those who are yet to arrive. There are refugees who were slated to travel to the U.S. on your dime from some foreign country, Central or South America. They were going to have flights direct into the U.S. They were going to have that little passport, that app, but it got shut off yesterday. So they can no longer have the parole passport that the Biden administration is setting up. That's no longer active. And those refugees who were slated to take planes out and start arriving into our nation, something like 10,000 travel refugees booked at last check, all of them canceled. It's not clear which countries were involved, but all of those flights are not going to happen. Tom Holman was on with CNN talking about we have so many we can round up. We know where some of them are if we would just get these sanctuary cities to do their job.
And so what is happening as we speak is limited to those with criminal records?
That's the target of this operation. But like I said many times, in places like sanctuary cities where we can't arrest the bad person in the jail, we would like to have access to the jail to arrest a criminal alien in the safety and security of a county jail, which is safer for the community, safer for the officers, and safer for the alien. But when you release a public safety threat out of a sanctuary jail and won't give us access to him, that means we got to go to the neighborhood and find him. And we will find him. But when we find him, he may be with others. Others that don't have a criminal conviction but are in the country illegally, they will be arrested too. Because we're not going to strike, and this is the difference between the last administration and this administration, ICE is going to enforce the immigration law. There's nothing in the INA, the Immigration Nationality Act, says you got to be convicted of a serious crime in order to be removed from this country. So there's going to be more collateral arrests in sanctuary cities because they forced us to go in the community and find the guy we're looking for.
So keep that in mind. Those of them who are harboring together, trying to evade ICE, once they know where one of them is, if you're there and they come to the door, they're going to round up all of them. Holman had also pointed out, we have currently 1.4 million that already have a final order of deportation issued to them. They've already been told you must leave, but they haven't, 1.4 million. They're among the ones that are going to round up right away. And in that number are also something like 200-plus convicted criminals. They've already been convicted of crimes in our nation, and they hadn't been deported. And yeah, if they can go into city jails and make it easier, if the sanctuary cities wouldn't turn them loose inside the community, be easier and safer for them as well as the community. Governor Pritzker of Illinois, he's already waffling a little bit. Well, we're not going to impede law enforcement, but we're still a sanctuary city and state. Trump's still talking about yanking federal dollars from such states. Pritzker's reaction is, well, you got to keep in mind, we're building things like a Holocaust Center. They're going to point out everything that would be used with that money that has nothing to do with illegals. Say, you're cutting this from our public needs. This is the same lie and bait and switch Planned Parenthood has been doing for decades. They're not allowed to spend federal dollars for the actual abortion. But they could get federal dollars, and they do, for rent, utilities, hiring staff, things of that nature. No, they didn't actually pay for the abortion. It just pays for everything around it. Once again, Tom Holman.
What happens then? So the ICE officers gets an individual or a set of individuals and apprehends them. What next? What do these ICE officers do with them? Because in some cases, and you know this far better than I, they haven't been deported in the past because their country of origin won't take them.
Well, what happens after arrest? They're taken to an ICE office and they're processed and put in detention. While they're in detention, ICE officers work on travel documents. The host country sends travel documents saying, yeah, this is our citizen, this is our national. Then we make flight arrangements. So they could be in detention from a few days for a few weeks until that removal is made happen.
What if the host country doesn't want them, as has happened in the recent past?
We have various plans. We have various plans. Other countries are willing to take them. We have third safe country removals. So that's something we're working through. But I think you're going to see less of the recalcitrant countries. Countries don't take their citizens back under this president. Because this president has vowed that these countries will take them back. So I'll leave that up to the White House. But there will be negotiations with those countries who are pushing back on recalcitrancy, and they will be removed.
As they should be. They're here illegally. The Biden administration said, well, we're letting them come in on, we'll give them a parole permit, then they have to show up for court. But in the midst of that, we have 300,000 children missing that we know came into the country. The Biden administration could not tell you before they went out where those kids are. I don't even know if they cared. It's horrifying to think of what some of those children have been going through, still going through, or did before they were tossed aside like trash. All you bleeding heart liberals who are worried about separating families, you think about those children. We might actually be rescuing children from a heinous situation. Another thing Trump is pushing forward on is getting rid of DEI, stripping out of the federal agencies. And, of course, that's also sending a message to corporate America. You will not continue to push DEI. Some of them have already backed off. But as we told you earlier, there are cases as one DEI diversity executive pointed out, we'll just use different words in coding. We'll find other ways to continue it. Not inside the government, because they're making it clear that will not happen. Federal DEI employees on administrative leave effective immediately. And, of course, we're looking to cut staff and spending anyway. If that's all they're qualified to do, then they're probably going to be gone. But they're not just throwing them out on the street without anything immediately. They're going to give them some time to see where they can put them, where they would be of true benefit and actually earning based on merit, not DEI. But if that's all you were hired for, is to lead DEI training, all of that training has ceased. It will not continue. And one of the first main names that got dropped was the Commandant of the Coast Guard. She got that position 2 years ago under the Biden administration. She has been relieved of her duties because she was primarily focused on DEI. One of the interviews she did, she could not continue or could not slow herself down to talk about anything other than how many women we now have in the Coast Guard. Now, that's great. That's great if they are qualified. But again, like many In the left, they look at everything through the lens of DEI, not through merit. So she is thrown overboard in the Coast Guard. They also say the Coast Guard under her direction was failing in several things, such as basically deploying personnel and equipment to maritime borders to properly protect our nation. Again, DEI. And, of course, Trump did sign the other day an executive order renaming the Gulf of Mexico and other areas where we will find our Coast Guard, not only along the Gulf of America, where our coastlines meet, but also preventing migrants from Haiti and Cuba from arriving. And Cuba has been redesignated as a terrorist state. And we'll look to protect our territories of Guam, Puerto Rico, America Samoa, and the U.S. Virgin Isles. Everything he's doing at warp speed, mind you, as Speaker Tim Jones was saying, doubt that anyone in history looking back can find someone has done this much this fast. When you have the Davos elite, all of these world European leaders confirming and stating, as they did earlier, Trump won, we have lost, we will have to redo everything. That is going to be better for European countries and every other nation represented by Davos. And tomorrow, Trump will be speaking at the World Economic Forum in front of Davos. Oh, that's going to be good. Because in his inauguration, he stood there and he said things aimed directly at Joe Biden and Harris for things they had done wrong to Americans, to you, and to him. And they had to sit there and take it. By the way, there was one scene where Barron, Trump's son, walked over to shake hands with Joe Biden. And Joe Biden extended his hand, smiling, bright smile, and Barron leaned in and said something to him. And the smile vanished and turned to a frown. Barron walked away to join his mother up the steps, but then turned to look back at Biden, who was still lost in some depressive frown. I haven't seen exact words of what he said to Biden, but if you were the son of a man that the president had tried to maybe have killed or destroyed in some other way, what would you have said? Call him something, some slur, whatever. But it absolutely shook Biden. His smile disappeared. Well, let's leave you on a high note. At the inauguration, there was a prayer opening, and Trump had invited a Detroit pastor, Sewell, to deliver the invocation.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you gave our 45th and now our 47th president a millimeter miracle. We are grateful that you are the one that have called him for such a time as this, that America would begin to dream again. We pray that we would fulfill the true meaning of our creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. We pray that you use our president, that we will live in a nation where we will not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful today that you will use our 47th president so we would sing with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee.
And yes, if his words sound similar to Martin Luther King Jr., they are, but also from his heart. And his statement, our 47th president is a millimeter miracle, speaking about how close he came to death while on the rally trail. Again, that's Detroit pastor Lorenzo Sewell. Powerful, engaging, spiritual message. Not only for that day, but for every day and for each of us. As always, thank you for listening. The Allman Report is next. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.